This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. He knows sports.
What if we made you like an ice crew member for the Islanders?
An ice cream vendor?
And he's very humble.
Your mother.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
So I love paying attention. They got Silva.
Who is Silva? By the way, Saval, right? That's how you say the name?
No, it's Silva.
No, come on.
It's Saval. Yeah.
Saval. He's on my fantasy team.
Good.
Yeah, had a good first outing.
Good.
He's on Tampa now.
So did Heal.
Heal, also on my fantasy team, was great. One out away.
One, it's it.
Stinker. Time now for a Stump Rothenberg, driven by Nissan. That's nice. All right. So, I guess our good buddy Dan Grosso didn't start out like this, but we will today. You have your question ready to go, right?
I do, yeah.
What's your topic?
I'm not going to tell you.
Really? You won't even give
no
me
that? No time for preparation, no.
Okay. All right. Let's start out the way we always do and bring in Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Welcome back, David.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good morning, Rick, too. So we got an NFL draft question for you, David. Thank you, Ray. Having the number one overall pick is not a slam dunk.
All right.
Since 1990, there have only been two number one overall picks to be enshrined in Canton, and you name them.
Is Peyton Manning in the Hall of Fame yet?
That's one.
All right.
Other one, not so easy.
Not so easy. Since what year? Since 90?
That's correct.
Now, why did you say? So 90 was the great Jeff George, I believe. Drew Bledsoe not in the Hall. Orlando Pace, Ohio State.
Woo!
Woo! That was nice.
Welcome back, baby.
That's 1-0.
Oh, we're off.
That's nice. Away we go.
Away we go.
1-800-919-3776. Jared Morganville. Jared, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, companies. All right, can you tell me the only baseball player to end his career with 300 or more home runs and less than 400 strikeouts?
I think Ted Williams right off the bat. DiMaggio, like it's going to be that era. Less than 400 strike. I mean, I know Williams never struck out. That's my first thought. Yogi Berra. Never struck out. That's that. I mean, those are my thoughts. So DiMaggio, Williams, or Berra. I'm going to say Yogi Berra.
Final answer?
Final answer.
Not today.
Uh-oh. Who is it?
Joe DiMaggio.
Who is it?
Joe DiMaggio.
Oh.
You had it.
I mean... I don't get credit, certainly, but he was certainly somebody
you
I was
were
thinking
right there.
Of. Yeah. I got it wrong. I do feel better when I'm going through the potential answers. At least I name that person. That gives me a little bit of...
But I also think it gives, even when you get it wrong, it lets people know how smart you actually are, though.
I should have got that right.
I know. Listen, it's fine.
Have a little. Have you seen the documentary on Yogi Berra that his granddaughter did?
No, I did not.
It was really good.
Have a little honeydew.
No, because then people make, I can't believe you're eating on the air.
As he asked the question, have a little honeydew. Maybe that bounces you back.
You think it kind of boosts
might. It looks good.
It does look nice. Let's go to Noah. This is a hockey one. Noah in Bergen. Noah, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. That was a tough one.
No, but it was very fair.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing you are. Ted Williams, 500 home runs and fewer than 400 strikeouts would be impossible. all right, so here's my hockey question. This is also a tough one. I would like to know who the two goalies are with the most wins, tied for the most wins in a season.
In a season?
Yes.
So this is, I mean, didn't Brodeur... you know it?
So we've had this before.
I think Holtby, didn't he have a ton of wins?
Brayden Holtby, yep.
And Brodeur?
Yep.
That's right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. He seems to know it. I echo what he says. We'll go Holtby and Brodeur.
You got it, Rick. 48. Nice job.
Yeah, baby. Nice. That was beautiful. Let's go to Chris and Beth Page. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. A little pressure on you.
Why?
RJ got this question.
Why is there pressure?
Because RJ got this question right away.
Oh, then RJ can answer it.
I know. It's funny. Okay. So in the 1980s, who was the leading scorer in the NBA? Most points for the decade of the 80s.
So you think Dominique Wilkins, right? 80s. So who started? Moses Malone? And RJ got it right away?
Right away, he did. It's crazy.
Alex English. I'm trying to think, is there anyone else? I'm going to go with the Iceman, George Gervin. No? Rick is saying no.
I will tell you it's one of the names. I don't know how I know this, by the way, but it's one of the names you said. Not the most recent one you said.
Alex English, Denver Nuggets. No?
That's correct.
That's right?
No, Alex English is correct.
Okay, nice. I think there was a movie where Alex English was in it, and it was like a child who was... You guys can look this up. Child was concerned about, like, years ago. Got to be early
owls.
80s. No, not owls. No. He was concerned about, like the... global warming or the earth or something, and he started this campaign, and somehow Alex English got involved.
Really?
Yeah.
The better question is, RJ, how would you know that?
And how did he know it immediately?
Yeah, I don't...
Like, that feels like that's a give some thought kind of a question, right?
Well, RJ!
He's screening right now.
How do we not have somebody at this point that answers the phones so RJ
so
can
RJ
do his
can
job?
Be involved? Talk to John
make a
when
list
he comes
of demands.
In.
I'm going to bring that up today.
Make a list
in
of
the
demands.
Big meeting.
You know what?
That
bring that to your
that
big
will
negotiation.
Going nothing.
On. Bring that to the table.
That's what. Maybe I'll die on that hill.
You know.
Maybe
we
I'll
want,
die
we
on
want,
that
we
hill.
We want a guy.
Maybe
we
I'll
want
die
a
on
phone
that
answer.
I don't want you to die on that.
I'm
going to
die
right on that hill.
Dedicated phone answering person. Man or woman.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. Not sexist. Mike in Austining. This is supposed to be a very tough one. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dave. So on Friday, Good Friday, I was listening to Evan Cohen and Hembo on the show, so I got to give them credit for this one.
All right.
They brought up the idea that Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani could go 1-2-3 in the All-Star vote this year. Who was the last trio on the same team to go 1-2-3 in the All-Star votes? It's happened three times, but the last time is my question.
So you think maybe the Mets of 86? I don't know that I know it. Could be the Yankees. Could be Jeter, A-Rod. Trout, Ohtani.
But I can't. Some teams have the luxury of, you know, they built up a bit.
I accidentally hit that.
I asked you a question like this before. It wasn't All-Star voting.
No, you asked me MVP.
Yeah.
I don't know that I know this. This is a tough one.
It's a tough one, Dave. It's a way back. You're thinking a bit too recent.
Okay. All right. So that's a good help. Should we say Red Sox? Could it be Ted Williams? Yankees,
DiMaggio, but Mantle didn't cross.
Well, the
over
one
there.
I gave you was the answer. The one I gave you was Rose, Morgan, and Schmidt. That was the MVPs that batted 1, 2, 3.
Right. So that would be the Phillies in the late '70s, early '80s. I mean, I don't know. Do you think that there's some?
I have no idea.
You want a hint, Dave?
No, I don't like hints. I don't have the answer. And you don't want just the team, right? You want the three players.
I mean, either or would be impressive at this point. It's a really tough one.
Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray. I don't remember the date of third guy. I don't know. I'll say the Red Sox.
Incorrect, Dave. It was the 1966 Baltimore Orioles. Frank Robinson, Brooks Robinson, and Boog Powell.
That's a good one. Well, you got me. That's two wrong today. Good question. Good question. Let's go to Zach in Montclair. Zach, you're on Stump Rothenberg. But before we do that, I want to let you know, Zach, you're listening to DNR, DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM. Where? 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 New York. That's right. Hi, Zach.
Hey, morning. All right. What's the one time in history that the number one pick in the NFL and NBA draft came from the same school in the same year?
That's good. Is it UCLA? Is it Troy Aikman? So NBA and NFL, same school.
Same school, same year, number one pick in both drafts.
It's a good question. All right, so let's think back. Oklahoma, Blake Griffin, no. Kentucky, Tim Couch was the top. And they have Carl Anthony Towns, but I don't think in 99 they had the top. This is going to take a minute. Michigan, Chris Webber. Jake Long, but clearly not the same year. Magic and Bubba Smith. Same year. Sam Bradford and Blake Griffin the same year?
Nope.
Aikman was 89, and then you had Kareem and Walton, but 89 was not. Alex Smith, Andrew Bogut, Utah, 2005.
Oh, you got it.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a nice one.
You like that?
Nah, I like that a lot.
Whew.
I like that a lot.
That was a towel off kind of one.
That was.
That was a
I could see you sweating through that one.
That was a stressful one. Gene in Astoria. Gene, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Okay, two Hall of Fame players that played their entire career for just one team, and they played their entire career for just one manager who was also in the Hall of Fame.
What sport are we talking about?
Baseball.
Okay. So one team and one manager?
Correct. You know it.
I do.
You know it.
Could
trust
it be,
me.
Could it be? Could it be Yankees, right? Not Jeter. I know this. This is considered easy.
For your knowledge, you're a New York announcer.
So that's it. It's a New York. It's not gonna be a Met. So we got to think of the Yankees.
You can go back a little further.
The Dodgers? I don't know that I know this.
I guarantee you, you know it.
You got, he makes it sound so easy.
Well, I have faith in you.
Yeah, but I don't know that I know it. I mean, Jackie Robinson was solely a Dodger. But he only played for one manager.
The two players played at the same time with each other also.
Really?
Yep. Come on, how many teams have one manager that plays, that manages forever?
The A's. Connie Mack managed there for like 50 years. Are we going back a very far way?
Nah. I guarantee you one guy's one of your all-time favorite players.
I don't think I know it.
I give you the answer, you're gonna shoot yourself.
I'm sure I know who it is. But I don't... I mean, you make it sound like this is so easy. I don't think this is so easy. So they spent their whole career with this one manager and made the Hall of Fame.
And one team. All of them were just on one team their whole career.
Were they teammates?
Yeah, they were on the same team.
Don Drysdale and Roy Campanella.
Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax.
Oh,
and Walter.
Man. That's a shame. That's a shame.
Half right.
Yeah. I feel...
I told you should eat the honeydew.
You think that would have made the difference here?
You spent all that mental energy on the question before, and you went to, boom, another tough one.
Listen, I can't help
tough
it.
To tough.
No one's going to ask easy questions, right? So I can't help what they ask.
Yeah, but the one that says tough...
But that one avoid. I got. All right, let's go to Chester and bring in Jake. Jake, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thinking we can move away from sports for a moment.
That's fine.
Can you name six cast members from the movie Heat from 1995?
So De Niro and Pacino. I believe Val Kilmer was in that movie as well. Ashley Judd. Tom Sizemore. What are we at?
That's five.
Did I say John Voight?
That's six.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Rick, why don't you go ahead with your question?
All right. I have a NCAA men's
I like that.
Tournament question.
I like that.
Can you tell me?
This is tournament.
This is tournament.
Okay.
Zach Edey is currently tied for the most consecutive games with 20 points and 10 rebounds in the history of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me who he's tied with? Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be just in one year, right? This could cross over years.
Most consecutive games.
So this could be... I mean, could it be Bill Walton... Kareem, is it more recent? Blake Griffin. Got to be a guy that played quite a few games, obviously. And Edie's got to be up. Well, even when they lost to St. Peter's, and he was going 20-10.
This is consecutive now,
right?
It's not a huge number of consecutive games,
mm-hmm.
but he's tied with one individual.
So he's tied with. He can break that when they go to the Final Four here. David Robinson.
Final answer.
Oh, God. He was so good on Navy. They had like just guys, and he led them to the Sweet 16. He was there for a couple of years. I think so. Yes.
Give him the ding, Raymond.
Let's go.
Ding's
Let's
nowhere.
Go. It's not ready. There we go. That was nice. Okay. All right. RJ, five pack.
All righty. This will be our final all College Hoops edition.
We'll have a grape.
It seems you already have. Would you like a moment?
He's chewing it right now. Yep.
Would you like a moment to process?
I'm good. It's gone. Swallowed it.
I took it down.
Didn't even chew it.
Yeah. Wow, you're like a dog.
Yeah.
Like a golden
dogs
retriever.
Can't eat grapes.
Really?
No.
I didn't know that.
Very bad for them.
Oh, I didn't know
chocolate
that.
Chocolate, too.
I know chocolate.
Yeah.
All righty. Peyton Siva.
Louisville?
Yeah. This is a little
number 10, I believe.
It took you a moment to realize who he was, but you know what number
the guard
is.
On Louisville, yeah.
That's amazing what you know. All righty. Robbie Hummel.
Number 4 from Purdue.
That's amazing you remember his number. Ethan Happ.
I think he's a lefty big man from Wisconsin, maybe.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Alan Crabb.
Cal?
Yeah.
C-R-A-B-B-E.
That's right.
Yeah.
I got you on edge here a little bit, don't I? Just a little.
Well, you're asking some really kind of obscure guys.
This is a tough five-pack.
We're testing you today.
And finally, I played with a guy that got crabs, and then he told Ethan. So there was someone else.
Wait, when you came up with Alan Crabb, did you knew it was going to wind up
here,
right?
Yeah, but I've had this one in the holster for a while.
All right.
It seems like a good time to ask.
This better one, if you keep it in the holster so you don't get the crabs.
No.
This one you'll know.
Or maybe like a protective holster.
That's what I mean.
Right.
This guy used to give Syracuse fits. Scotty Reynolds.
Villanova.
Correct.
That
nice
was
job.
Good.
I got to tell you, in the history of doing this show with you guys, I think that was right there as one of the hardest five packs.
That was a very difficult five pack.
That was very difficult
five pack. That was a college hoops fan's sort of five pack. Like, you got to really be embedded in what's going on.
Are you, when you went through those, were you like, he's going to get them all? Or there was some hesitation that I would not?
The only one I knew you'd get Reynolds, Hummel, Siva, Happ, I felt good. Alan Crabb was the only one I thought maybe. But I felt good about what you were going to do, and I was rewarded.
Well, good for you and good for me, I guess.
That was
Stump Rothenberg, driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps right on top of your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com and do that today. All right, there we go. So now we're going to launch into Rules by Rothenberg. Nice.
Yeah, I don't like this music.
Why?
Because this is generic
show-y.
Music, though. It's generic, though.
It's our,
well, what would you like?
It's our general trial basis game show
okay.
music.
So he doesn't deserve
we have to,
real
we
music
We have to
yet.
Prove that this segment is worthy of
prove
its
the
own
concept.
This is like
music
when
and, yeah.
It's like when your name is on the sticker on your helmet.
Oh, hello, my name is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like us going on Shark Tank trying to
Wait,
prove our
who
idea.
Wait, who puts a hello, my name is sticker
no,
on their
no,
helmet?
That's
oh, no,
not,
you, when you do, yeah. You
not,
put the
not
kids
the sticker.
On the
they,
helmet?
When they give you masking tape and you put your name on the helmet. Oh,
just,
the helmet.
Yeah, or just any kind of tape.
You haven't earned a decal yet. Here's some masking
tape. Or when you go to like
a
function for a company and you have the hello, my name is on your chest.
Right, I didn't mean that. It's not the sticker that say hello, my name is, but it's just a piece of tape.
Hello, my name is Rick DiPietro, goalie.
Favorite player, Steven Stamkos.
Milo. All right, here we go. So it's Rules by Rothenberg. Three questions. Raymond's got one of the answers. I got the other two, but you can help me with one of them along the way. What is icing in hockey?
No, I don't want to start with that one.
Why?
No, because that one, I want to start with the roof.
The roof?
I want to start with the
All
roof.
All right, Raymond, explain. So yesterday during the Yankees game, Kay said, I was today years old when I learned this. I was like, oh, this should be interesting. They cannot open or close the roof in Arizona for fear that something could fall and hit and injure somebody.
The ceiling is the roof.
Nice.
So we want to know, what is the rule for the roof? My understanding, and I think I'm right, but we'll see, is you guys said you can't open or close the roof during a game. I thought it was you can't open or close the roof in the middle of an inning, and you can only do it after a completed inning. But Raymond has the answer, and the answer is?
There's nothing here about the innings from Major League Baseball, but there is a ground rule. Now, as you know, in inclement weather, it's to the home team's discretion as to whether to keep a game going. So for ballparks with retractable roofs, again, the decision to begin the game with the roof open or closed rests with the home team during the regular season. The roof can only be closed for weather reasons if the game begins with the roof open. If the game begins with the roof closed, it can be reopened once if the home team determines the climatic environment has reached a level where fan comfort and enjoyment will be best served by opening the roof. The roof may be moved only once during a game unless inclement weather indicates otherwise. During postseason, it's up to the commissioner or another designated official.
All right, so they can open and close the roof during the game.
Once.
So, RJ, you said it cannot be. RJ, you were wrong. We now have an answer on that question.
I don't know why RJ needed to have a shot taken at it.
No, it wasn't a shot.
Except
was
in just... Arizona where the roof could potentially
Arizona,
fall.
Arizona, when was that people. When was that ballpark built? It's one of the older ones, right?
Is it? It can't be that old, though.
It was built in the 90s, obviously.
Okay. That's a Rothenberg-type question you just asked.
So it's 30 years old? Looks beautiful.
So, I mean, it's got to be one of the first ones with a retractable. It was built in 1998. So it's got to be one of the first ones that had actually had a retractable roof.
Okay. Right?
So.
And a roof that can only be open and closed when the stadium is completely empty. That is for fear
for
of something
purposes.
Falling. Yeah. I got to tell you, if that's in place, I'm terrified. Now, let's just say for argument's sake, World Series. Stadium full of people. Wouldn't you usher out the people, close the roof if it starts raining, and then bring them back rather than not play the game?
I think that Major League Baseball would be... I mean, who knows Major League Baseball, but you'd be smart enough to recognize that there's a chance there would be rain, so you would just start the game with the roof closed.
Fair enough.
Right.
Here is question number two. Is there such a thing as a ground rule triple in baseball? What do you think?
I've never had a ground rule triple.
There is a ground rule triple. All right. It occurs when a batter is awarded three bases for hitting an unplayable fair ball, but here's the caveat to it. Ground rule triples are very rare. They're only possible when special ground rules have been agreed upon by both teams prior to a game. The 1903 World Series actually had 17 ground rule triples. I guess there was some piece of the wall or something that had like you couldn't really get to and the ball would go under there. And if it went under there, it was agreed on beforehand, that would be defined as a ground rule triple.
Assuming that if the ball didn't get caught under that part of the fence, that you would have the ability to make it a triple, I'm guessing?
I guess. It was Exposition Park in Illinois. No, it says, hang on. 1903 World Series.
I haven't played one game myself, and I played up through high school, or
right.
One game I've coached where we've had the ground rules before a game, and they said this is a
well, no, because I guess it was very common in 1903 World Series. So excess fans at the World Series... And they had to put a roped-in area that was kind of jutting out onto the field. And if the ball went there, they considered it to be a triple. Now you know.
That seems silly.
I'm not defining whether or not it's a silly rule. I'm giving you the information of whether or not, in fact, it is a rule. And it is a rule. If agreed on before the game by, I guess, the managers, you could, in fact, have a ground rule triple.
Right. So, right. I mean, so that would be in an area, I guess, that you think if the ball is headed in that general direction that it would be likely
he would wind up on third and let's give him a triple. And then somebody, I might have been a Purple Belt Mike, I forget who exactly, sent in an email and said, can you please explain what icing is? I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but I imagine that's something you pretty much have under wraps. What is icing in hockey?
Well, you know what icing is.
Of course.
Right. It's when the defensive team shoots the puck down the ice from the defensive side of their
right,
red line.
From behind center ice, yeah.
The red line.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it goes behind the goal line.
It doesn't necessarily have to go behind the goal line now.
I thought it did.
Well, no, the rule has changed now where it's a race because they were trying to avoid the touch-up.
Right. So that's no touch icing.
Would get murdered.
Yet. So in the old days, right, it had to go behind the goal line without having the opportunity to be played.
And someone would have to touch it.
Right.
Like the defenseman
so, but,
for
so
the opposing
now,
team would have to touch it.
But doesn't it go behind the goal line and then they call
not
it?
Not always.
Typically, though, right?
Typically, yeah.
Okay. So there you have it. Did we explain icing?
I think so.
Okay. So I thought that was streamlined.
The rule was changed just so defensemen wouldn't get killed.
So there's no touch icing, which is what you're talking about.
That's
touch icing, which is how it used to be.
Right.
And then automatic icing, which is a third level of icing. Here, you want the exceptions? The team, okay, if you're shorthanded... You can now go ahead and do that. The linesman believes a player on the opposing team could have played the puck before it would cross that goal line. The puck is iced directly from a player participating in a face-off. The goaltender leaves their crease and moves in the direction of the puck. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The goaltender touches the puck. That eliminates icing. We know that. The puck crosses the goal line between the goalposts of the opposing team. So if it goes through the crease, it can't be icing.
No, between the goalposts would be the net.
So if it goes in the goal?
It's not icing.
Well, isn't that, I mean.
No, it's a goal.
Well, right, obviously it's a goal. Well, why not say if a goal is scored?
Between the posts.
Well, because the goalie can stop it.
Fair.
Right.
Or the condition for touch icing or hybrid icing is met. So there you go.
Like Milo's league, you can't ice the puck on the penalty kill. It's icing.
Really?
Right. Well, I mean,
why?
Well, because you don't want to waste time. You're trying to promote more offense. So if a team can
even when you're shorthanded?
Yeah, well, they want to. I mean, you want goals, right?
Yeah, like, but the goal of being down in a game is to try to kill off that amount of time.
The idea is you're being penalized.
Why
would I let you kill the penalty by icing the puck? I want the puck in your zone as much as possible. There's also been the thought that you should have to serve the entire 2 minutes.
No matter what, no matter how many goals are scored.
To create more scoring opportunities.
I could be crazy here. Hasn't the NHL, at a serious level, but hasn't it at least been discussed about that, about the icing on the kill?
Yeah, there's also been talk about, I think you should have to serve.
And they're trying it out with Mite Hockey.
I think you should have to serve all 2 minutes.
That's nice, like you do with the major. Major, you have to serve all five. You could score as many goals as you can. All right, so RJ, let's go to you, the jury here. We just did our first Rules by Rothenberg segment. We had three rules that we kind of explained and helped people along with. Good, bad, indifferent. What do you think?
I liked it.
Did you really?
I liked it. Now,
Rick, how did you feel about it?
I think we taught people some things.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
Yeah, but you didn't love it then.
It's not overly exciting.
It might be something we break out occasionally. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I understand what occasionally means.
Well, you didn't know what you didn't know what between the posts was.
Well, because it figured like a goal.
Well, but you would have figured right.
Well, let me ask you this: how about if it goes through the crease and crosses the goal line?
Isn't that still a goal?
It has to.
Not guaranteed a goal. No, if it's
it
going
has to be between the posts.
Right, but if it goes doesn't at matter. An angle through the crease, okay, so it's got
to
go.
Like, you've seen the goalies where the puck's coming down and they get up close to their post just to make sure it's not going to go in the net.
Right.
It doesn't, as long as it's not between the.
Okay.
The goalpost.
Raymond, what did you think of that?
I think it was informative, and we got to teach people things, and we learned things ourselves. All right, I like it.
Let me see so it seems like Raymond really liked it. Seemed like RJ liked it on a limited basis, and seems like Rick, meh.
No, I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't know there was such thing as a ground rule triple, so I learned something.
You don't show up for a show saying to the guys, boy, guys, I hope we put on a really like a fine show today. You want to put on a good show.
Great show.
So if a segment is not good in its infancy stages where it should be at a high level, maybe it's tweaked a little bit and we don't have to do it.
No, but I don't think I like the concept. Don't get me wrong. But I think if we add some bells and whistles to it.
So you think it needs some noises.
Right. Maybe if we add some, like we have a Midnight Open, some new music.
Right. Something that's kind of moves the needle a little bit.
Right.
Now it'd be a little sexier.
I think that would be nice.
So would you like to try it next week things?
Well, I think we run it by the boss today.
But we do have the big meeting.
And see what he says.
Right after the show today.
Right. So I'll fight for the person to answer phones. You fight for the segment. And then I'm sure he'll fight for us to
I don't want to do the segment unless it's well received. So I don't need to fight for the segment.
Well, let's put it up on the poll.
RJ, can you guys put it up on the poll? Say, would you like to hear more of Rules by Rothenberg or not? And whatever the people say is what we do. How about that? We forget about us. Right? We're irrelevant here. We're ambassadors of the show, but the show is for you guys. If you liked something, we'll do more of it. If you didn't like it, we'll bang it. We won't do it. We don't need to do that.
Well, usually if you like it, you'd bang.
All right, let's leave that alone. If you know, could be like a drunk situation. But we don't need to go all the way down that road.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
LSU, Iowa, women's game.
Right.
What it did for a number.
It was a 12-3, right?
12-3. So mm-hmm.
12.3 million people.
12.3 right. million people. So what does this mean? Is that a big number? So, it is the most watched women's college basketball game ever. It had more viewers than the 2023 NBA Finals, the 2023 World Series, the 2023 Orange Bowl, the 2023 Big Ten Championship,
wow,
the 2023 Cotton Bowl. So, I mean, starting to get how big a number that is for that game.
Huge number.
Huge number.
I mean, the highest rated game in the history of women's college basketball. And it wasn't even a Final Four game.
It had a higher rating than every 2023 college football regular season game except Ohio State versus Michigan.
And both teams were undefeated for that game too, right? Yeah, that was for the Big Ten. That was to see who's going to play in the college football playoff. And that's a series that has as much tradition and history and rivalry as anything in all of sport. So that's what we're talking about now. And you know what? I watched it the other night and I was completely into the game. And I'll go so far as telling you this. We have plans on Friday night, and I was like, oh, what time? Like, I have now thought, what time are the plans? Will I be home for the start of the second game? Because that's got to be the nightcap, right? The Iowa-UConn game.
Well, you know, the other thing, though, too, is that game had everything that you would want.
It was a good game.
Well, no, it's a good game. I mean, you understand that it's the game to
get you're talking about going into it?
To the Final Four.
Well, it had, I mean, she's a star.
Right.
She's a superstar, is what she is.
She's
she
a superstar.
Is bigger than any player in the men's right. bracket, period.
She's a superstar.
Yep.
Okay. It is a chance to get to the Final Four.
Right.
It's revenge.
It's right. There's a history between these two teams.
You have an LSU team. The way that they acted after they won, a lot of people didn't like.
Right.
You got Kim Mulkey and everything going on with her. Like it had everything that you wanted.
It did. But
and it delivered. It was a great game.
It was a very entertaining game. But to do that kind of a number is, I mean, a 12 and a half, on a Monday night to have 12.5 million people watching that game is, I mean, good for that. And I, you know what I can't stand, because I heard people yesterday, today, like, oh, you know, women's college basketball next season will go back to being irrelevant. Well, you know what? It's not irrelevant now. And it's very entertaining. And if you don't like it, then don't watch it. But why do you have to disparage it? And I thought it's entertaining. I was intrigued. More than intrigued, like I enjoyed watching it, and I'm going to watch it on Friday, and I'm going to watch it on Sunday as well. And it's not because I work for ESPN. I enjoy it. I do.
Right, and you're going to enjoy, I mean, and that's the other thing too, that she's already, I mean, Caitlin Clark's already announced that this is her last year, so this is her final chance to
right.
to kind of, you know, get what would, I think in a lot of people's
and
minds.
And think about this now. Caitlin Clark, national championship game, undefeated South Carolina.
Well, think of the road though too. I mean, revenge on LSU, how that whole thing happened last season, to Gina Auriemma. Auriemma, mm-hmm. Paige Beckers in UConn.
And she's recovering from a torn ACL, and she's a star, too.
She's a star. She had a big game, too, against USC, and then an undefeated South Carolina team.
Right. So, no, the thing is, Iowa's the bigger draw. There's no two ways about it. Iowa being in the final, it could be Iowa, NC State, Iowa, South Carolina. The dream matchup is Iowa and South Carolina. Because you want the undefeated monster and you want the best, most exciting player in all of college hoops.
Just in general, I think if you ask people that are in charge of women's college basketball, the matchups that you're getting, I mean, you're getting Caitlin Clark going up against LSU. You had UConn going up against Juju Watkins in USC.
Right.
And now you have Iowa going UConn, and then with the, you know, whoever wins that game.
Because people love undefeated at this point of the season is special.
Yeah, undefeated,
and people love
greatness.
That. Right. Remember when Kentucky, with that Karl Anthony Towns team, was undefeated, went to the Final Four, lost to Wisconsin, and then Duke beat Wisconsin in the next game. RJ, I know you were busy before screening the callers, which I don't know why you still do that, but regardless of that, did you put up for a poll for whether we continue with rules by Rothenberg or not? He's not listening. He's not listening now.
No, he has. This has not
the
been
poll
his,
is up.
As
the
good
poll-
as good as Monday was, Wednesday.
The poll is up.
The poll is up.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Well, that's your problem.
No, I don't see it at all. I see the podcast hour two is up.
RJ, are you concerned at all that the whole mouse situation is becoming a little bit too much for him to handle?
I'm great with mice.
With all the extra.
Okay, here you go.
Played.
Did you enjoy Rules by Rothenberg? Early on, 20 votes in, very early, 85%.
Yeah, it doesn't
yes.
surprise me. People love you.
That's not me. This has nothing to do with me.
I think we've been up for 5 minutes. You
listen,
find
I think
it.
The early votes are going to be people that love you. Like Anthony Chief. He loves you. He's going to vote yes
but
all day,
if
every
you,
day. It could have been the worst
I don't take
ever.
Offense. If you don't like
you
it, vote no.
You could have turned the microphone on and just soiled yourself, and then people, he would still vote
you think
yes.
That'd be good radio.
It.
I turn on the mic, and then
I don't.
I go to the bathroom in my pants.
Right, like Orlovsky did yesterday at McAfee. If you just turned the microphone on, put it by your pants, and farted.
Right. My pants are all wet.
Chief would be like, loved it.
That's good radio.
Loved it.
You think so?
And not only did I love it, I'll be at the pregame party cooking up burgers.
That's because he loves us as a show.
I agree, but I think he has a little
RJ,
special.
Throw up on the poll if I soiled myself for people who want to listen to that.
I'm not going to put that on the poll.
Why?
If Dave pooped his pants live on the radio, would you love it?
I actually think people would enjoy listening to that.
Yeah, but what happens? I mean, you can't guarantee that, though, because what if there's no sound? How would people know?
Yeah, but now they know I'd be sitting in my own filth.
That would have to be an Orlovsky situation.
Can I wear a diaper like that astronaut lady?
No, it would have to be like he just said, an Orlovsky situation where we could hear it.
So you want to give me some kind of make me drink eye drops or something?
No, this is not Wedding Crashers.
So that all of a sudden it's like you hear like...
Both of those. Both of those.
Like that. You want to hear... like Mike Tenenbaum. You want to hear that.
No, I would think you'd have to hear that first and then be like, whoops. And I'd be like, oh no, I think Dave just... may have done something in his pants.
Right.
It's impossible to be at the top at both of those, essentially. Like, it's...
Another farting Dan Orlovsky situation.
That's bad.
That's bad, right?
Yeah.
Good job, RJ.
That's bad.
I told you.
He really let it go, huh?
I think he really farted.
RJ, let's
say it was a windshield wiper.
That's not a way.
Here's the full context. Dan Orlovsky's on with...
So windshield wiper, so he's doing the show driving down the road?
He wasn't driving.
He's
he was
parked.
Stopped.
He's on with McAfee. He's parked. You can clearly see he's in the car. Camera pointing at him. You cannot see the windshield wipers. This happens.
It's impossible to be at the top at both of those, essentially. Like,
another farting Dan Orlovsky situation.
Here's what I'll say. He was speaking through the fart. Do you really believe, and I don't know that you can or can't, that you're able to have that level of gaseous release and continue through your thought process?
Did Mike Tenenbaum speak through that time?
Right,
that
he
one
be,
time?
No, I actually think there was a pause.
No, he powered through it.
Do you have the Tenenbaum audio?
Did I skip a beat in the meeting?
I got you.
They had 35 runs, 33 passes.
He said, excuse me, too.
He went with the
bad, that's
he was polite,
example.
Though.
No, but he went with the because
yeah.
he had
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but okay, here's the thing, though. He may have had a situation, though. Because that could have been something where he's like, oh, like he may have thought that something might have slipped out there. I think Dan just was like...
He didn't care. Like, caution to the wind. Guys? I do what I do.
If that's a legitimate, you know, fart from Orlovsky, he needs to change his pants. That's what it sounded like.
Well, no, see, I disagree with you. I think that Tenenbaum could have been a chance that Tenenbaum may
they
have
had 35 runs, 31... excuse me, 35 runs, 33 passes.
But you can hear that when he had to go, it was because it was releasing. You hear it?
No. Look here. As an expert, you know, I do this in meetings. if you know going in that what's coming out, there's no chance that it's going to be wet, you just roll with it. If there's any thought this one could, yeah, this could be
dangerous.
I don't know about this one. There's going to be some hesitation. Like Tannenbaum had some hesitation.
Right.
Orlovsky knew it was just going to be.
Let me hear Orlovsky again, Raymond.
Orlovsky.
Right.
Hang on. I got
Both of those.
No, I don't think so.
Both of those.
There's no way he. No.
That was probably the wiper.
That's the wiper.
Actually.
That's the wiper.
Yeah.
There's no way you speak.
When you isolate it, I think that was the wiper. That's
a
loud
there's
wiper.
No way you can speak that concisely and that adeptly as your that.
Yeah, right. But here's what
functioning
I'm saying
like
to Dan.
Both of those.
I'd like to get Dan on. Is that he already has? There's the reason why they made a big deal of this because there was a thought that maybe during Monday Night Football he farted.
So this is his thing.
Right now you're stopped. Like maybe shut the wipers off.
Well, why in a stopped vehicle would you have the wipers on?
That's just something
forgot
you
forgot to shut them off.
That's not a big deal.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I don't think it was.
He could definitely.
I would love for it to be. I don't.
But
think
you don't
it was.
Know,
no, nobody knows.
Question. I'll tell you what though. He needs to get new wipers. That's bad.
He might need to wipe.
71%, well over 100 votes are in. 71% say yes. We continue with the rules by Rothenberg. 30% say
how
no.
How much time left in this poll?
Probably goes till 10 o'clock, I would
it
imagine.
Should say how much time is left on the poll.
23 hours left.
Okay. Right. So by the time we're done with this poll, tomorrow we'll know, and you'll have to pick out your music and everything else. This is trending towards going to like people
well,
like it.
We'll see. This whole Field Yates mock draft?
We're going to have to wait.
We'll do that next. Yeah on 98.7 ESPN. Hi, Dave Rothenberg back to tell you about my friends at Bathfitter. They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower. Phenomenal job. Customized just like we wanted. Only one expert installer. Process was easy, was simple. There's no demo, there's no mess. And Bathfitter is a high quality, permanent solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3+ million happy customers like me and my wife. And for a limited time, you get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So start designing your bath today like we did at bathfitterdesign.com because there's only one Bathfitter.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Before we got off into the world of farting, we were going to get into Field Yates' new ESPN.
No, don't say it like that.
What?
We're cross-promoting.
The McAfee Show?
Right. We're cross-promoting.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
McAfee Show had some flatulence. And, listen,
we talked about the LSU-Iowa game, the day of the game.
Right.
And then we had people call the next day and said we would never watch college women's
except
college
except for
basketball.
You guys, you led us to watch it.
So we're a part of that 12.3.
Absolutely. I think we probably brought 12 million people to the table to watch that game.
At least the 0.3, maybe the 300.
Maybe so. Anyhow, Field Yates has a new mock draft, and this is just not one round. He does two rounds. 2024 NFL mock draft of rounds 1 and 2. That's 64 selections. Full picks are below. No, this doesn't matter. All right. So Field projects 4 trades here, including 2 in the second round, and those are going to be highlighted. Vikings send the. This is the first round one. Vikings send the Chargers, and this seems like kind of almost a no brainer. Picks 11 and 23, plus a 2025 first rounder. That's a lot. You don't think so? To move up to number 5 to take a quarterback. I'll tell you who that quarterback is in a moment. Niners send the Cowboys 31 and a third rounder for 24. Titans send the Panthers 38 and a pair of fourth rounders for 33. And then the Raiders Commanders is somewhat of an irrelevant trade. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Pick one to the Bears, Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Two to the Commanders. Now, I've seen, I think the odds on all the sports books are almost fifth, like maybe slightly shaded towards Jaden Daniels going to, but it's not big. Like, it's Daniels is minus 140, Drake May, like, even money or plus 110 of who's going to go to. So, it's very close. But on Fields' mock draft, he has the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels from LSU second. New England third, they would go Drake May. Arizona fourth would go Marvin Harrison. Vikings fifth would go J.J. McCarthy, which leaves the Giants kind of out of the quarterback race there. And they would take who Mel was waxing poetic with us about Monday. Malik Nabers would go sixth to the Giants from LSU. Continuing along in round one.
You know
one,
what's amazing, though, quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
How, so we had Mel on, right? And you asked Mel certain questions. Like, you asked him the Daniel Jones question. He's hell-bent. You should keep Daniel Jones.
Right.
And then we have Field, and we're going to talk about the rest of these picks. And then, like, Mike Tannenbaum. So he has him going four. I would think, like, as he's going through this, as Field's going through this mock draft in his mind, he's saying to himself, you know, is there, and he's pretty dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
If I could get to four rather than sit, like, why not go from, you know, 11 to four as opposed to five? Like, four guarantees me I'm getting the quarterback. Like, no one can jump over.
Right.
But Field must be saying to himself, no, Arizona loves Marvin Harrison. Tannenbaum had Marvin Harrison going ninth to the Bears.
Right. Now, if you're the Giants, can you move up from six to four? So I guess in that situation, then the Chargers would take Harrison. Like, I'm wondering, if the Giants love a quarterback, can they even move up to four with Arizona? Arizona drops to six and still wins with Harrison if he's the one that they desperately love. I guess you can't guarantee that, right?
Right. You know, you're not going to get. You might not get any.
You're going to get Harrison or
Neighbors or Dunsey.
That's clear. So I wonder if that, you know, if Arizona gets. And what do you think the Giants would have to give to get up to four?
I would say probably six, and then
next year's one.
Ugh. What do you mean? Ugh.
That's. I mean, what do you mean? Ugh?
You say ugh, and then you also say, when we hear Brandon Bean say, "Does it really matter?"
No,
I'm gonna get fired.
I say ugh because if you would have lost the game to the Packers and lost the game to New England, I wouldn't have to give up next year's one to move up to four.
Winning was important for them.
Very important. So Neighbors six. He has the Titans at seven, taking Joe Alt. Eight, the Falcons taking Dallas Turner, edge from Alabama. Ninth, the Bears taking Rome Odunze, wide receiver that Mel also loves from Washington. And your Jets, and number 10, taking tight end extraordinaire Brock Bowers. You were so in on Bowers, and now you want the offensive
don't
lineman.
Don't say that. I think Brock Bowers is great. I've watched a lot of Brock Bowers, and the versatility, the things you can do with him, I think is would allow a competent offensive coordinator the ability to do some things that with a regular tight end you can't do. Right? I mean, we had someone come on the show and said that, or someone told us that if Georgia could have used him as their running back, he was that good.
Right.
Like, so the things you could do with him, I said there will be the temptation at 10 if he's sitting there to take him. But the more I've kind of sat back and thought about it, with all the question marks on the offensive line,
I think that's the safer play.
And you only
I would agree.
One, at that point, you have one offensive lineman off the board, so now you have your choice of the rest. I guess you could trade back, which it sounds like they'd consider. I just don't know who's trading up at that point. If all the quarterbacks are gone, unless there's someone behind Denver that loves Bo Nix or Michael Penix.
So he has Denver taking Bo Nix at number 12, right? Which is what we discussed. You think all five go in the first round? I do. Field does not. Field has the Raiders nabbing with a trade. Michael Penix at 36. So then you have Gardner Minshew is kind of your ensconced starter, battling it out with Aiden O'Connell. And then Michael Penix would be waiting in the wings
Listen, I guess it would have to happen where you have the four go, and then one of the teams behind you, like the Raiders, really likes Bo Nixon, wants to get ahead of Denver.
You know what I heard, which should be a terrifying thought for the entire AFC, that there's a chance that Bowers drops to 18 and the Bengals. You better hope that's not the case.
Trust me.
You better hope to God that's not the case. Can you imagine if Joe Burrow, then added in Brock Bowers to throw the football to?
Bowers chasing Higgins?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. You think Higgins is going to stay there?
I think they probably want to keep him for this year.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, Penix, if Knicks goes 12, I cannot, maybe I'm wrong, and we'll find out in a couple of weeks, I think 3 weeks from tomorrow, that Penix lasts to 36. I think one team looks at him and says, he's a great in the pocket quarterback. We need to make a move for this guy.
But which teams outside of, if Denver's taking Bo Nix, the other team that you would
be. Do the Giants like him and want to move back into the first round if they take the wide receiver at six?
You're talking about the Raiders at 36. So what are you saying? Get up at, to 35?
Well, if you like him. Like, we talk about, trading next year's one to move up to four to grab somebody. If you really like Penix, yeah, if you like him, move back into the first round and take him. And now, at least, you have your quarterback of the future to be groomed behind Daniel Jones. And now you still have a stud receiver to go along with him.
Right, we also have a team that's, it feels like, is probably more desperate than you to get the quarterback. So he has Penix going to the Raiders.
And in trading that original first-round pick, like your own second-round pick, it makes it harder to move back into that first round. If you didn't make the trade for Brian Burns, maybe you would have been able to do that. But and then in round two, and I don't know much about this kid, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on it, Field has the Giants taking Max Melton, quarterback from
corner
from Rutgers. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it plays out. But we, this is not months away anymore. We are now right around the corner from the NFL draft.
All these receivers going too, man. You got Keon Coleman going at 40. You got Ladd McConkey going at 46. Roman Wilson going at 51.
Well, you've heard. This is an elite quarterback.
I like McConkey.
Wide receiver draft.
I like McConkey.
Yeah? He's your guy?
Yeah. Well, there was some thought, too, that I looked at a lot of Jets stuff.
Well, you're not going to get him.
No. We don't have a second-round pick unless we trade back. That there was some hope that maybe Ricky Pearsall would be around in the third round, and he's got him going in the second.
How many receivers does Field have going in the first two rounds?
Well, he's got the three up top. He's got Brian Thomas going 18. That's another one. Brian Thomas going to the Bengals.
14 receivers, 10 offensive tackles taken in the first two rounds.
Yeah, but I asked Mel that question. I said tackle and receiver. He's like, definitely receiver, but I don't know about tackle. I was like,
well, Field seems to
10
think
in the
that
first, 10 in the first two rounds
that's
seems like
crazy.
A lot. Well, just think about it now, though.
Eight offensive tackles in round one.
If you're a kid right now and you see how running backs in the NFL are being treated, you want to be a receiver or a running back?
The receiver.
Of course.
I don't want to be a running back.
No.
Does he have a running back going in the first two rounds? You talk about the devaluing of the running back. You'd have to look to see if when's the first running back even go in this mock draft? I'm just looking. So 32, no. 33, no. 34, no. Guard, quarterback, center, wide receiver, corner, wide receiver, linebacker.
No, he doesn't have a running back in the first two rounds.
He doesn't have a running back in the first two rounds.
No.
Oh, yeah, he does. 54, Trey Benson, yep. Running back out of Florida State.
Cleveland.
And then 56, Cowboys taking Jonathan Brooks. But, this defines. You have 14 wide receivers. You have two running backs, and the first running back would go 54th.
Yeah, it's wide receivers, it's tackles, it's edge rushers.
That's how you
corners.
Build your team. You need a quarterback. You have to have a quarterback, or otherwise you can't win. You have to have receivers, or you can't win, right? Unless you're Kansas City, and then somehow you're able to do it with pedestrian.
Look what your GM is doing that Joe Douglas is running circles around, according to John Winthrop.
You don't agree with that, though, do you?
I don't think circles. It's different. There's more urgency for the Jets.
Well, these are two teams heading in different directions.
Right,
the Giants are slowly trying to build. And
correct.
Build a foundation,
saying,
and the Jets are trying to win everything now.
You just went through that. The amount of tackles, wide receivers, you keep going. Edge rushers, corners, and you look what the Giants have done. You move off from the running back, you move off from the safety.
Right.
You trade for the edge rusher and give him a ton of dough. You put long-term extension on Dexter Lawrence, inside pressure, your best defensive player, your left tackle.
Yep.
You drafted a corner who's going to be good.
And you're looking for the quarterback.
And now you're looking in the wide receiver.
Right. So we're going to break, and Rick doesn't even realize this yet. He has news which I think everybody is going to be interested in for one reason or another. You don't even know what it is, do you? Well, you know what? I'll share that with you if you don't remember it next, right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say...
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.